There we go. I think it's working. So the Torah portion today for Shabbat Chol HaMoed Sukkot is from Exodus 33. And extending into Exodus 34. So, a bunch of interesting things happen here. But this is the portion where Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed by God to go make a couple more tablets, and that Hashem himself would inscribe the tablets with the 10 words. So you may ask, why is this portion for Shabbat Chol HaMoed Sukkot?
Why is this portion for Chol HaMoed Sukkot?
Funny you should ask. Okay, we finished Yom Kippur. Okay? And we have Shemini Atzeret coming up. Now, those of us that did the study, shiur for the Siyum, for the Fast of Gedaliah, we looked at the final page of Tractate Yoma, of the Talmudic Tractate dealing with Yom Kippur, and it's talking about Ne'ilah. And it's talking about the relationships. If you need to have a mikvah, you can only have a mikvah during the day. Okay? So if suddenly the need comes up, and I won't discuss it with children in the room, that you would need to have a mikvah, after Mincha on Yom Kippur. Do you have to wait until the next day because it's already after the Mincha and so you would miss Ne'ilah because Ne'ilah is you would be unclean. So they discuss it, and the idea here is that Ne'ilah is kind of during the same day and kind of not during the same day. It's kind of the next day. So what do you want it to be, that day or the next day? And so the sages decide, hey, you can have the mikvah so you can be at Ne'ilah. So for those purposes, Ne'ilah, even though it's after Mincha, still counts as the day before sunset. But that there's other reasoning that would say after Mincha and before Ne'ilah on other times that you do Ne'ilah, not necessarily that you should wait until the next day to have the mikvah. Or at all of the times after Mincha, because Mincha is the evening sacrifice, it's the last sacrifice of the day, that you have to wait till the next morning to have a mikvah. Okay, now why is this important? Because it gives us this concept of twilight, where it's kind of one day and kind of the other, and it really depends on what the utilization is, what the purpose is, what your perspective is, whether you treat this time as part of the day or part of the next day, as part of the evening. Okay? So we have this period of time that's a muddle. Another great example of this is, when do we light candles for Shabbos? But we light candles before sunset. We don't light them after sunset. Okay? And when do we light a Havdalah candle? Well, we light it after sunset, not before sunset. So what do you call a period of time between the time you would light Shabbat candles and the time that you would light the Havdalah candle? What do you call that time? It's muddy. After you light candles on Shabbat, it's not, you treat it like Shabbat. You treat it like Shabbat. But you can still say the Mincha for the Friday afternoon. So you kind of don't treat it like it's Shabbat. It's twilight. It's this muddled time. And you, okay. So what does this have to do with anything with Sukkot? Let's look at the day Shemini Atzeret. See, Hashem gave us the Sukkot, and he said, celebrate this in the place I will show you, Jerusalem, for 7 days. And then on the 8th day, you got another Moed. Wait a minute. We're only supposed to celebrate for 7 days. So what is this 8th day? Why are we having it on an 8th day? What is it? And the comparison could be made that it's the twilight of Sukkot. It's kind of part of Sukkot. When you want it to be part of Sukkot, it's part of Sukkot. And when you want it to be after Sukkot, it's after Sukkot. It can be treated either way. The one thing we know is that it's a moed, it's a full festival. Okay? So, Hoshana Rabbah, the great day of the feast, is on the last day of the feast of Sukkot that we can say, that's Sukkot. Good, it didn't fall over. That's good. Last time I did that, the shelf dropped out and it was a mess. Okay. That's Sukkot. So that's the great day of the feast. And that's the 7th day of the feast. Shemini Atzeret, the day after that, the festival, which we are having services on Thursday, is kind of like the twilight. You could treat it as before. You could treat it as during or after. Okay? Why is that important? It's important because even though we call Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur the locking of the gates, they're not locked yet. They are not locked until after Shemini Atzeret. We have this muddled time that we can still do the introspection. We can still come before God and apologize. We can still atone. And the whole community has this. And it finishes on Shemini Atzeret. It's for this reason that God tells us that the 8th day, which is the feast and not the feast, is a solemn assembly in the midst of all of this joy. I mean, we're going not so happy. And then we've got a solemn assembly. Why? Because this truly is the last shot. The gates aren't closed until sunset after Shemini Atzeret. Okay, and why? Because the time is smeared. God is a God of second chances. He gives us a second chance. He gives us a second chance. We have Yom Kippur. You can compare Yom Kippur to the first set of tablets. And then we have Shemini Atzeret, the second set of tablets. You get the idea? Second chances. Second chances. Your situation is never hopeless. It's never hopeless. Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum Vechanun. Gracious God, God of grace, Chen, the Chesed, the Rachamim. This is who He is. He always gives us another chance. So no matter how badly you've done in the past, through Yeshua our Messiah, you can be forgiven. You got to do two things. Fess up before God and change your behavior. It's really that easy. Shabbat Shalom. So our Besorah portion today is from the Gospel of John, Yochanan, in chapter 7, where he's actually talking about Sukkot. So we start in 7, verse 37. Now in the last day of the festival of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, which is also translated the great day of the feast. Yeshua stood and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and drink. Whosoever puts his trust in me, as scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being." Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who trusted him were to receive later. This is parenthetical. The Spirit had not yet been given because Yeshua had not yet been glorified. Okay, so some manuscripts don't include that, but it's in there. Now, what's going on here? Every day during Sukkot, there is a special, celebration?
Ceremony,
that's good. Ceremony that took place. Now, in order to understand that this ceremony is in Torah, you gotta connect three different scriptures. When you connect the three different scriptures, you come up with this ceremony, which is called the Nusach HaMayim. So it's interpreted. This is something that the Perushim, the Pharisees, were very much in favor of because it's derived from oral law. And the Sadducees did not like this. They didn't want to have much to do with it. But since the Sanhedrin was controlled by the Pharisees at the time of Yeshua, the Nisuch HaMayim, the water drawing ceremony, was done. It was a hugely joyous time. It was a hugely joyous time. A bunch of people, how many people have been to Jerusalem? You've been to Jerusalem. Okay, when you're in Jerusalem, you can go and visit the Temple Institute. You've been to the Temple Institute. One of the things in the Temple Institute, it's in a case on the side you're walking in, is a silver pitcher inlaid with gold. It's about this big. Now, this has been remade from records, archaeological records that we have. It's not an original. But this is the pitcher that was used, will be used, when we do the Nisuch HaMayim again, when we do the water drawing ceremony again. Basically, it goes like this. Everybody's celebrating, singing, dancing, the whole festival. It's great. It's a joyous, unbelievable festival. So, at about Chatzi Alayla, about halfway through the night, every day of the festival, priests would gather on the altar near the fire. They would put down this silver cup bowl on the north side of the altar. They would take this pitcher, they'd hold it up, show it to everybody with much pomp and circumstance. And they would walk down off of the altar, they would walk out through what was known as the Water Gate. This is long before President Nixon. It was called the Water Gate because this is the gate that they exited when they were doing the water drawing ceremony. They would exit the Water Gate, make a quick right-hand turn, walk along the wall of the temple complex, between the temple complex and the Mount of Olives. And they would come to the far end and to a street, and they would descend down into the city of David. And if you're walking, descending ain't bad. Coming back up, that's not fun. And following the priests were the whole crowd, and they were carrying torches, and they're carrying their lulavs, and singing, and dancing, and just carrying on, just having a great time. The whole city was taking part in this. Everybody, this is a big, big deal. And they would walk down the city of David to near the bottom of the city of David. And the wall of the city at that time included the city of David, so the wall, they were still within the city itself. and they would come to the pool of Shiloam, also called the pool of Shiloah. And the priest would take the pitcher and dip it into the pool, fill it with water. And he would show the people, and he would turn around and begin the ascent back up to the temple. And the rest of the priests would follow him, and the rest of the crowd singing, dancing with torches all the way back up to the temple itself. And at about dawn, they would arrive. They'd take their time. Right, so they would arrive at the temple complex itself at about dawn. The priests, or the priest, the duty priest who was doing this, wasn't always the high priest, but it was on the great day, would ascend. He then ascended up the ramp onto the altar itself and go to where the silver bowl, silver cup was placed at the north side of the altar, and he would pour the water ceremonially into the cup. It would fill the cup and overflow, and the water would wet the side of the altar. And there was much cheering. Yay! Now, this is the time that Yeshua said, "All who thirst, come and drink of me." Because it happened on the last day. All who thirst, come and drink of me. The water drawing ceremony. Huge connection. Now, this was one of the methods that Yeshua used to declare that he was the Messiah. This kind of thing would have been expected because the water drawing ceremony had been a ceremony that had been connected to politics and political speech for a long time. Now, 100 years before Yeshua, 100 years before Yeshua, there was a leader of the people, high priest, named Alexander Yanai. And Alexander Yanai, as many priests were, most of the priests were, was a Sadducee. Okay. Now, later, Yeshua rejected all of the teachings of the Sadducees. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe the books of the prophets should be in the Bible. And Yeshua basically rejected them to the point where the Pharisees, hearing Yeshua's teachings, were like, yeah, go get them. They were very much in favor of what Yeshua was saying about the Sadducees. So Alexander Yanai, 100 years before Yeshua, was a Sadducee. But the Sanhedrin was controlled by Pharisees at that time also, as it was most of the time. And so they were doing the Nisuch HaMayim, the Beit HaShoeva, it's also called, the water drawing ceremony. And so Alexander Yanai held up the pitcher, walked down, filled it up, walked all the way back up. And finally it had enough. And instead of pouring the water into the silver cup, he said, and he poured it on his feet. Now, the Pharisees, which is most of the people, went nuts. This was hugely blasphemous to do something like this. Right? So they're all standing around the altar and in the Azara, in the court complex. And they're standing there like this and they go, what? Hey! And so they have their etrog, they start throwing their etrogs at him. This is recorded. We have this. They threw Can you imagine thousands of etrogs being thrown at you? And they were still mad. So they broke off a chunk of the altar and started throwing rocks at him. He almost died. And so he called the temple guard in, which he controlled. And they killed over 3,000 Pharisees in the temple on that day. So that was the last time the Sadducees actually tried to discredit the Nisuch HaMayim, the water drawing ceremony. But the precedent for political statements being made during the water drawing ceremony, that had been established. And everybody knew this story. This was not something unknown. So when Yeshua stands up and says, "All who thirst, come and drink of me," they get it. Now, this happened on Hoshana Rabbah, which is our service on Wednesday. Okay? Which is not a full moed, perfectly, you know, fine working. I'm going to go to work before services and go back to work after services. Okay? But this is the great day, the seventh day of the feast. Then we have Shemini Atzeret the next day. Okay? And some interesting things happened with Yeshua on Shemini Atzeret also, and I'll talk about that on Shemini Atzeret when we have services. The truth is that there are several places that Yeshua actually declared his messiahship. They're only subtle if you don't know the history. When Yeshua entered Jerusalem, right before Pesach, people were throwing what? Palms, palm branches. Palm Sunday. In Hebrew, it's lulav. They're throwing lulavs at Yeshua. Now, lulav is for Sukkot. And here Yeshua is coming in before Pesach, but they're throwing lulavs. Why are they throwing lulavs? They're saying they agree. He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. Yeshua stands up, "All who thirst, drink of me," during the Nisuch HaMayim, during the water drawing ceremony. This is a declaration that he's the Messiah. And people get it. But in modern times, we forget. We don't necessarily recognize this. But it is definitely a declaration of Messiahhood. Okay? Sukkot is the festival of the Messiah. We sacrifice 70 bulls for the 70 nations because the Messiah is eternal. The Messiah is the Messiah for everyone and everything. Not just the Jewish people, but he comes from the Jewish people. Salvation, Yeshua, comes from Israel for the world. So that everyone has an opportunity to be with God. It's up to them, their free will. Okay? Shabbat Shalom.